Our Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of James chapter 3 this morning. James chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 13 down through the end of the chapter, James chapter 3. We've been going through the book of James, calling it Monday morning Christianity. We're calling it that because it's about work, right? It's about doing the work that God has called us to do, and Monday is the start of the work week, generally. And so it's also a day when, as Christians, we go to work for the Lord. You know, the further we get into the book of James, the more you see all sorts of connections. And I'm starting to picture it like one of those boards that detectives get, right? When they're going through a case and they got like stuff everywhere, and they got the strings, right? They're just like connecting everything. And you start to see that, I feel, in the book of James, like how it's all tied together, and he's referencing like things that he's already said, and also like things that Jesus said when he was on earth. And it seems to all be connected. And we're going to talk about wisdom today. And James has already talked about wisdom right back in the beginning of the book. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And he's coming back now to that subject. And it's all connected. So in James chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "Who is a wise man? And endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Let's begin with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the time that we have to spend in your word. So we begin right now, and we ask your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message this morning is The Work of Wisdom. The Work of Wisdom. So James starts off with this question: who is a wise man? If you're familiar with, maybe you know who Charlie Chaplin was. There's probably a bunch of people here who are too young to know about Charlie Chaplin. But he was one of those, like a famous actor in the days of like the silent films, right? And he was very well known. But he was known for his specific look. I think there was one character that he played that this was the costume that he would wear. And I'm not really familiar with it, but he wore that, like the small hat, right? Or like the hat, and he had that, like the specific mustache. He wore like the really baggy pants, and then the smaller jacket. He had large shoes, and just like that very classic Charlie Chaplin outfit. And maybe there's probably, you can picture it if you've seen him before. And that person, that actor, and like his costume became this cultural phenomenon where people really seemed to enjoy that and love that. And so people began to hold look-alike contests, and you could enter a Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest. I don't know that they still have them today, but they used to back in those days. And Charlie Chaplin's son, when he wrote a book about his father, in that book he tells a story of how one day his father was in Hollywood, and he was going by a theater, and he entered a Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest. Right? And so he entered that contest, and the end of the story is, as his son told it, that he came in third in his own look-alike contest. Now, Charlie Chaplin himself later said that this never happened, but we're not going to let that get in the way of a good illustration. Right? So like this idea of a look-alike contest, and I think that's what James is doing. Right? He's holding a look-alike contest for wisdom, right? And he said, all right, who is a wise man? Who is endued with knowledge? Let's figure out who is actually wise, right? What does wisdom look like? And the confusion for all of this begins back in chapter 1. The reason, James is saying, all right, who is a wise man? And trying to figure this out is because back in chapter 3 and verse 1, and we talked about this last week, well, it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." And James is talking about and dealing with a group of Jewish believers who their goal was to be a master, and that word is like means a, like a teacher, or we'd say maybe a rabbi. They were wanting to be this highly respected teacher in the church. That was their goal. So many of them were wanting to be masters. They wanted to be to have this position of wisdom, to be respected as a wise person. And so here they were trying to teach all this thing. Now, what they were teaching wasn't wrong. James never corrects them about false doctrine. That's not the point of this book. The point of the book of James isn't to correct them about like some false teaching that they were spreading, like all the different ones in different books. They were teaching the right doctrine, but what James is saying is that despite them teaching wisdom, they themselves were not wise. So despite all the things that they were saying, and this is why he talks about the tongue, right? Despite all the things that they were saying, they were not wise. And we would say that's an imitation wisdom. We have authentic wisdom, and then there's imitation wisdom. And this idea of them just saying the right things and teaching all the right things, and yet not being wise, is why James stands up and says, all right, who is a wise man? Who really is endued with knowledge? Because wisdom isn't just found in the things that a person says. It's not just found in what we say. Words can prove that you aren't wise, right? You can say something and we go, okay. That gave us some insight into who that person is, right? There's the saying, it's better to say nothing and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. We can prove that we're not wise by the things that we say. But words by themselves do not prove that a person is wise. Just the words. It's part of it, but here we had a group of people that were relying just on their words to prove that they were wise and that they had wisdom. And I think the point that James is making is, if you hear wisdom without seeing it, then that's not wisdom. If you just hear wisdom but you don't see wisdom, then that person is not wise. So how do we tell imitation wisdom from what we'd say is authentic, real biblical wisdom? How do we recognize that in others? How do we recognize that in ourselves? How do we know if I'm wise? How do you know if you are living in a wise way? How do we keep from deceiving ourselves? How do we keep from being deceived by other people? Who is a wise man? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge? We're going to start here. We're going to start by defining what wisdom is. I think we need to understand what the Bible means when it talks about wisdom. Wisdom is usually, you'll find it defined as knowledge put into practice or knowledge applied. It's knowing something, but then also like knowing how it works in life and being able to then put that knowledge into use and into practice. So knowledge is part of wisdom, but it's not all of wisdom. You need to have some knowledge in order to be wise, but that's not all it is. It's not just head knowledge. Wisdom isn't being the smartest person in the room, right? If that's your goal, then you would just do a lot of studying or maybe kick people out of the room, right? And if your goal is to be the smartest person in the room, then and think that's wisdom, then it's going to be entirely focused on knowledge, right? And head knowledge, and that can be gained from, you know, Wikipedia or, you know, college classes or whatever. A wise person will be knowledgeable, but a knowledgeable person is not necessarily wise. So there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom, because wisdom is concerned with the decisions that come from what we know, right? Wisdom affects the choices that we make because of what we have learned, because of what we have studied. Wisdom ultimately comes from God, and it has to. Wisdom has to come from God, real wisdom, because wisdom deals with not just what we know, but also who we are. And that means that we have to be changed, because we are naturally are not biblically wise, right? We have our flesh and we have our old nature within us. So wisdom needs to be there to be teaching, but also transformation. There has to be a change that takes place within us. So go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs is one of the wisdom books, and it talks a lot about wisdom and what is wisdom, how to be wise. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Wisdom is personified or depicted as a woman who is calling to the simple, those that need wisdom, and she's calling them to come and listen to her and learn from her. So in verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying. So she's all over the place calling to people, getting people's attention. And here's what she's calling. Verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their knowledge, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And wisdom is depicted as like the very first thing. Wisdom crieth without, right? She uttereth her voice in the streets, in all these places. And the picture is of wisdom being outside of us, calling to us to go to her, right? And the point is, one of the points is that wisdom doesn't come from within us. Wisdom comes from without. There are things that we don't have that we need to learn, right? And seek after wisdom and find wisdom. We're not naturally wise. So then how does a person become wise? We listen to the words of wisdom. That's what verse 23 says, the end of verse 23 of Proverbs 1. I will make known my words unto you. We become wise through the word of God and by the Holy Spirit of God. The word of God teaches us how to be wise. The Holy Spirit of God works in us to live in wisdom. Psalm 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Both the law of the Lord and the testimony of the Lord are two synonyms for the word of God, for the scriptures. And it says, those things make wise the simple. Hey, we all start as simple people. We do. No matter how much we know. And it's the word of God that makes us wise. As we listen to the word of God, and as by the Spirit of God, we are taught the word of God, and then we live the word of God. That is what wisdom is. Here's another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we're coming down to a nice succinct definition for us of what wisdom is. But we're taking the scenic route. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. First Corinthians 2 and verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom, Paul said, among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And then if you look down in verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, right? We haven't received the spirit of the world to know the things of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's the word of God, and it's by the Spirit of God that we gain wisdom. And if we're going to be wise and live wisely, we need both of those, the word of God and the Spirit of God. Wisdom then is knowing and obeying the word of God. It is knowing what the word of God says and then living according to the word of God. That's what it means to be wise. And if we make it very simple, it's biblical wisdom is doing things God's way. That's what it is. Knowing God's way and doing things God's way. That's what a wise person is. They know what God's word says, and they're doing what God's word says. And so if we go back to James chapter 3, all right, knowing that biblical wisdom is doing things God's way, then let's look at these two candidates. So he says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge? All right, let's find out. And he's going to present two candidates to us. And let me tell you, there is no suspense on which of these is the wise person and which one isn't, which one is imitation wisdom and which is authentic wisdom. He makes it really obvious, so I'm not going to try and build up any suspense in regard to this. We'll start with imitation wisdom. We're going to start in verse 14. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So imitation wisdom, someone who is not wise, even though they might try to say it. Imitation wisdom, and specifically in the context of these teachers in verse 1, they had picked the wrong way to accomplish what is at least on the surface a right desire. I think what's behind it is very suspect. I think the scripture points that out. But at least on the surface, they were like, we want to be Bible teachers, and that's great. To go and share the gospel and teach scripture, that's a good thing. But they had picked a wrong way to do it. And if biblical wisdom is doing things God's way, they were not. So you look at that and go, that is not wisdom. They were doing it their own way. You can have the right goal, but you can also go about to achieve it in the completely wrong way. I remember when I was traveling with a with a group from the college that I went to in Bible college, and we were going to a church, do some singing and preaching. I can't remember exactly where we were, but we were following a GPS, and this was in the early days of GPS, which makes me sound old. But anyways, they weren't great, and they were like the physical ones, like the TomTom that you would mount on the dashboard, those things. But anyways, we're following this GPS, and it's taking us to this church, and at one point, it had us turn onto this dirt road. I'm like, okay, you know, that's fine. There's dirt roads still. So we're traveling on this dirt road, and then the GPS says, all right, turn left and you know, go left. And so we look to the left, and we've been driving along a river. And to our left is the remains of a bridge. And there was like the one part on this side, and then you could see the part on the other side, but the important part, the middle, was not there. We're like, okay, right destination, but this ain't the way to get there, right? There's got to be a better way. And this is what they were trying to do, right? On the surface, they were saying, this is what we want to do, a right destination, but they weren't going about it the right way. And therefore, that is not true wisdom. And here's how they were doing it. In verse 14, bitter envying. They had bitter envying and strife in their heart. Their motive was one of envy, right? They were looking at what someone else had and saying, we want that, right? This enviousness in their heart. And we can envy for a lot of different reasons, right? But in the context, it was a prideful desire for the status that someone else had, right? They looked at other people who were, you know, teachers or were respected, and they said, oh, that's what we want, right? So even though on the surface they had a right desire, yet underneath was this heart that was not right. And we talked last Sunday about the tongue, right? That it cannot be disconnected from the heart, that what is in your heart is going to come out in the things that you say. And if we go back to verse 9, this is like how it came out. This bitter envying and strife that was in their hearts. Verse 9, therefore, therewith with our tongue bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Out of the same mouth, they were saying great things about God, all the things they wanted to teach, but out of the same mouth came cursing, right? Why would they curse men? Because they were trying to tear them down to get what they had, and to get what these teachers wanted. Tearing others down in order to climb their way to the top. All of this came from this envy in their heart. And bitter envying brings about strife. From verse 14, it's going to bring about conflict. It's going to bring about arguing. Because instead of these teachers looking at these other Christians as brothers and sisters in Christ and co-workers, they started to look at them as obstacles or even enemies, right? From the word fighting. And if you have an obstacle, then you get it out of the way, right? You do whatever you have to remove it out of the way. If it's an enemy, then you fight them and you defeat them. And all of a sudden, this bitter envying changes how you look at people, and then it turns into strife and all of that that comes from that. This is not the way of God. And despite what they said and what they portrayed, when you looked at what they did and how they were treating people, you went, wait a minute, that's not wisdom. Because this is not the way of God. And so James tells them in verse 14, he says, glory not. Don't brag. Don't boast. Imitation wisdom will say that the way to the top is to talk yourself up. You got to brag, right? You got to maybe even exaggerate a bit, you know, who you are. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for your worth. Feel free to talk bad about your competitors, right, in order to promote yourself. And this is how they were living. So look at verse 16. We're going to come back to verse 15 in a minute. But if we go to verse 16, it says that where envying and strife is, this selfishness and this willingness to be in conflict and fight people, it says where that is in your heart, there's also confusion and every evil work. Right? Maybe we can try and picture what's happening in this with this group of these teachers. That there's like a leadership structure in place, and then you have these some that are trying to climb that through this sort of wisdom. So they use their words, right? They use their tongue to talk bad about people and really try and tear down those people to try and get what they had and get what they wanted. Talking bad about people in order to climb through the authority structure. I'm not saying it's never that leadership can never be questioned, right? Because that's not what we're talking about, right? And leadership that can't be questioned is questionable. But I'm saying that behind their right desire was pride, and it came out in fighting. It came out that they said, all right, in order to get what we want, we're going to fight for it. We are going to tear anybody down that we have to get that status. And we talked about it last week, how important status was to these people. So sides would be taken and camps would be formed, and all of a sudden there's confusion in this church or these churches, where you have the church looking at them going, well, who's right? Is it that group or is it that group? Because they're saying these things about those people and they're saying that about those people. And all of a sudden you have people confused in the church about what's going on and who's right and who is wise and who's endued with knowledge, because they're all claiming to be wise. They're all claiming to be teachers, but they're fighting one another and they're fighting other people. And all of a sudden there's just confusion that's spread because of this. And 1 Corinthians 14 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. And it says, where envying and strife is, there's going to be confusion. And then it goes on, it says, also, every evil work. If this is in their hearts, bitter envying and strife, then everything else is possible, right? From those seeds can come all this horrible, wicked fruit. It can go beyond that to unkindness, selfishness, lying, deceit, anger, and so many things. And we talked about this in the tongue, that a poisoned heart is going to be heard in the tongue, and it'll also come out in the actions. What's inside is going to come out. And so if we go back to verse 14, he tells them this. He says, lie not against the truth. He looks at this group of people who are trying to force the issue their way, which is not God's way, and he says, do not lie against the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that they are not wise because of how they're living their life. Despite what they say, the truth is they are not wise. And he says, don't claim to be wise because you are lying against what is actually true. And he says in verse 15, this wisdom, it descendeth not from above. Where true wisdom comes from, he says, so listen, don't try and claim that it is. It's not from above. Don't make claims that you are actually wise. And then in verse 15, he describes where this wisdom comes from. And it gets to the heart of what this wisdom really is, its nature. Despite what they portrayed it as, this was the nature of this wisdom. And this is the nature of all imitation wisdom. It descendeth not from above, but it's earthly. It's earthly. It is very concerned with earthly things. For them, it was earthly position and status. This wisdom is not concerned with spiritual things. It's focused on all the things of this life and all the things of this world and attaining things down here. And this is the hypocrisy of it all. Go with me to Romans chapter 2. This is the whole hypocrisy of what these teachers were doing. Because with their words, they were talking about spiritual things and teaching and making out like they were so concerned with the things of God. But yet they weren't. And in Romans chapter 2 and verse 17, as Paul is going kind of through the gospel, he's proving everybody sinful, and now he's dealing in Romans chapter 2 with the Jewish people who were very religious. But he's talking to them about their sinfulness. But look what he says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. And he starts by addressing who they thought they were and how they considered themselves. And he said, you are very, you're boasting in God and in the law and your relationship with the law and keeping the law. And then he talks about how you present yourself as this instructor of the law and that you are an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes. But look what he tells them in verse 21. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as is written. And you know what Paul points out? He points out the contrast between what they said and what they did. And he says, that's hypocrisy. Is that you are claiming to be this great teacher of the law, and yet you are not keeping the law yourself. You teach other people not to steal, and yet you are. You teach other people not to blaspheme, and yet you are. He goes, "What? Why is this happening? How can you claim to be so concerned with the things of God and spiritual things and say, listen, you guys need to follow this. Don't steal. Keep the Ten Commandments. But if you claim to be so concerned with that, why are you doing it?" Right? It's like, it would be like a driving instructor who they're teaching that teenager how to drive, and they're like, you cannot, it's very important that you keep both hands on the wheel, you know, and you buckle and you don't text. And then they go out and do the same things. They're texted on their phone and they're not buckled, right? You go, why are you so concerned in making other people do that? Being so concerned with other people, but yet you're not. It really makes us think you aren't as concerned as you say you are about those things. And isn't that the hypocrisy of these teachers? We're like, we want to tell people about how to live for God and how to follow God. But if you're really concerned with that, why are you not living that way? And he says, this wisdom, it's earthly. It's not concerned with spiritual things. Despite what it might claim to be, it is concerned just with the things of this earth. They're wrapped up in all the things of this world. That's what imitation wisdom is. But it'll claim to be something else, and yet we see what it really is focused on. It's earthly. The second description in verse 15 is that it's sensual. This is another word for like natural. It's living according to our sinful nature. Because what comes naturally to us is not right. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. The natural way is not God's way. But this is the way that this wisdom, imitation wisdom, goes. It teaches us to live according to what is natural to us. And what is natural is for us to be selfish and proud. And then that leads to like envy, and that leads to strife, and that leads to every evil work. And that is the natural path for us. It's living according to our flesh. Imitation wisdom says, yeah, that's the smart way to do it. That's how you're going to get to where you want to go. Right? That's how you're going to get what you want, is by taking the path of your flesh. And that wisdom, it's sensual. It's just sensual. It's about what comes naturally to us. But then he says, the last thing in verse 15 is he says that it's devilish. And Worse than all the rest of this, this is the source of this wisdom. And James isn't afraid to tell it how it is. He said back in verse 6, he says that tongue, it's set on fire of hell. He's not afraid to say that this ultimately comes from Satan. This is devilish. That's ultimately where all of this comes from. And this, what was happening in these churches or among these Christians, was the work of Satan. It's the work of Satan to break down the church and to destroy the church. For this being a look-alike contest, one of these contestants does not look anything like true wisdom. And yet they're trying to pass it off as wisdom. They're trying to say, we are teachers of wisdom. We are these highly respected people. Listen to us. And the Bible says, you can listen to them, but then when you see them, and you see the way they're doing, and you trace that back, and you understand the heart that's behind it, you go, that's not wisdom. That's not doing things God's way. That's doing things according to the way of the world. That is doing things according to our nature. That is doing things the way Satan wants things to be done. If it goes against the Bible, it's not wisdom. But here's the second candidate. And we would call this authentic wisdom, real, true biblical wisdom. So in verse 13, who is a wise man and dude of knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Right? He says, let him show out of a good conversation. I taught my kids a new saying. We were at the dinner table the other night, and I taught them a new saying. And it's the saying, say it, don't spray it. Have you heard that? Have you heard that one? It's for when you're talking with your mouth full, right? And when you're not only hearing what is coming out of their mouth, but you're also seeing what is coming out of their mouth. So you're like, say it, don't spray it. For wisdom, it's the opposite, right? For wisdom, we want to spray it and say it. I don't know if that's a great illustration, but my point is, wisdom will be seen in what we've done in addition to being heard in what we say, right? It is going to be seen as well as heard. He says, let them show out of a good conversation. Sometimes we think about wisdom just as what we know and then what we can tell, what we can say to people, right? That we know, like advice to give or good counsel, but it's more than that. It's how we live our life. That is what wisdom comes down to. There will be good works that come out of a good conversation. Let him show out of a good conversation. The word conversation, it's an old-fashioned word, and what it used to mean was like your way of life, your manner of living. So that's what it means by conversation. So let him show out of a good way of living his works, right? We're looking for the application of God's truth to our life. It's doing things God's way. It's not just knowing what God's way is, it's then doing things God's way. And so when we're looking for wisdom, we're not just listening to what is being said, we're also looking at what is being done. In Matthew chapter 7, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. And he tells this story about a foolish man who builds a house upon a sand. He puts that foundation right on the beach. And when the storm comes, that foundation will not stand on that sandy foundation, and the house is destroyed. But then he talks about a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. And then when the storm comes, because it's founded upon the rock, that it's going to withstand, right? It'll stand through that storm. But he comes down to the end, and he says that the wise man is the one who hears my words, but what else? And does them. That is the wise man, not just the one who knows what God says, but also the person who does what God says. It's both of those. It's knowing and doing. It's hearing and obeying the word of God. That's what wisdom is. So that's why he says, let him show it out of good conversation. It's not just what he knows, but what he shows. It's not just what he says, but what he does. So therefore, let's see it. Who's a wise man? Let's look. Let's not just listen, but let's look at what that person is doing, and they will show it out of a good conversation, his works. But then he adds one more thing. He says, with meekness of wisdom. And the Bible uses this particular word, the word meekness, as a characteristic of what true wisdom is going to be. And meekness is the exact opposite of everything that earthly wisdom did. The word meekness, it's generally defined as strength under control. strength under control, that you can do something, but you choose not to. You control the ability that you have. Other synonyms are, in different times, in different contexts, submission or gentleness or humility. Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology gives this sort of longer definition. Meekness is an active and deliberate acceptance of undesirable circumstances that are wisely seen by the individual as only part of a larger picture. So I'll read it again. It's an active and deliberate acceptance of undesirable circumstances because we see it as part of the bigger picture, right? So it's us submitting to the things that God brings into our life, not fighting against them, but being meek and humble and submissive because we know that God's in control, right? We see it as part of the larger picture. It's humbling yourself to accept what God brings into your life, to accept the things that God has for you, despite having the ability to fight for yourself. Strength under control, submission, humility. That is what meekness is, and that is wisdom, because that's God's way. It's you living your life according to what God has said for you. And the more as I said right at the beginning, the more you study James, the more you see these connections to what Jesus said. So go back to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23 and verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 down through verse 10. And as you read, you'll see how this exactly fits with what James was saying, and the specific context of these people that were trying to be teachers and wanting that reputation and that status. Because Jesus Christ is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people in his day. So Matthew 23 and verse 1, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do ye not after their works, for they say and do not. This is what Jesus tells the people. He goes, listen, you can listen to them, but don't follow their example. Right? Listen to what they teach you, but don't try and be like them. Verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do, for to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Those are all different things they would do to show their religiousness. Verse 6, they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. And isn't that what James talked about, right? When people come into your assembly and they look great, and you want to put them in the uppermost rooms in the best seats. Verse 7, they love their greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. And Jesus Christ talks about this hypocrisy that's there of them being willing to say all the right things, but not back it up with their life. And it's like James was seeing that same thing now in these Jewish believers, that they're following in the same footsteps of these Pharisees and these scribes of, hey, we want that position. We want the uppermost rooms. We want the chief seats. We want those respected greetings where people come up to us and they say, oh, Rabbi and Master. And they wanted all of that. And they were following that same worldly wise path of, how do we get that? We're envious of this. How do we get that? And it led to strife and then confusion and every evil work, right? All in that path. But look at the wisdom of Jesus Christ in verse 11. As he addresses this philosophy the wrong way, he tells him the right way. Look at verse 11 of Matthew 23. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that does what? Humble himself shall be exalted. It's the path of meekness. That's the wise path, right? And I was tempted to say here that the path upward is downward, because that sounded really catchy to me. You know, the path upward is downward. But even that has the wrong connotation, because it's not about going upward, right? It's not about our motive isn't for meekness, isn't I'm going to be meek so that I can be great. That's not the point of meekness. The entire path is downward, always. We don't concern ourselves with upward. We're just saying, I am going to humble myself and be a servant. I don't choose to be a servant until I cannot be anymore, right? It's not that I'm saying, I'll just be a servant until I get what I want. I'm not being a servant until something better comes along. No, I'm just a servant. I am just choosing the path of humility and meekness. The path is downward. We don't concern ourselves with elevation. If God wants to exalt us, he can choose to do that. The exaltation we're really looking for isn't in this life. It's in the next life. The honor we're looking for isn't what somebody thinks about us or what someone says about us. It's what God thinks about us. It's what God says about us. It's us standing before the judgment seat of Christ. If we can go back to that in the book of James, we're looking forward to that day where God will reward us. This is what wisdom is. This is why James says, you know what it is? It's meekness. The way of God is you humbling yourself. And he looks at these men saying, you're not taking the path of God's wisdom. You're taking what the path that seems so wise to you in your flesh, that the way you're going to get something in this life is to fight for it and to be mean to everybody around you to accomplish your pursuit for reputation. And he goes, that's not wise. He goes, that's not what the Bible said. He says, you remember what Jesus said? The person who humbles himself will be exalted. You're going about this the entirely wrong way. And this is what earthly wisdom misses, that greatness is found in meekness. That greatness is found in service and humility. Earthly wisdom says you have to fight to get ahead. And the Bible says, no, just serve. Just be humble. Just be meek. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 2. We're in Matthew 23. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And verse 2. He tells them in verse 1, don't do your alms before men, right? Don't do it like as a display, like you're giving. Verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. Can you imagine that? Sounding a trumpet in order to get everybody to notice what you're giving. Don't do it as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men, right? That is what they want. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. All right, that's it. That's the only reward they're going to get, is what people think about them. Look down in verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's it. That's the reward they get. True wisdom says that's not the way we do it. It's not to be seen of men. It's to be seen of God. It's what I do in the eyes of God. Wisdom says, I'm going to be meek. I will humble myself. I will serve, because one day I will stand before God. And when I stand before God, I want him to approve of how I live my life. And so if we go back to James chapter 3, who is a wise man? Well, he's going to show it out of a good conversation with works that show the meekness of wisdom. But then, so that was verse 13. Verse 14, 15, 16 we talked about is that imitation wisdom. And then he comes back to true wisdom in verse 17 and 18. And he says that the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. When we do things God's way, this is what it's going to look like. In contrast to all of verse 16, every evil work, it says it's going to be pure. It's going to come from a pure heart. It's going to be peaceable. There's not going to be fighting, but we'll work for peace with one another. It'll be gentle. We'll treat one another with kindness because they're not our enemy. They're not our obstacle. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's going to be easy to be entreated or easy to be like asked. It's the idea of being like generous, that people can ask things of you and you will be generous and giving. Full of mercy, will be compassionate and caring. Full of good fruits, wisdom has the fruits of the Spirit. Without hypocrisy, we are who we say. We're not fake. We're not faking it to just get what we want. This is what real wisdom is. And it says that the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Wisdom brings about peace. That's what real wisdom does. Imitation wisdom, confusion, strife, every evil work. True wisdom is going to be shown in meekness, which leads to peace. Authentic wisdom and imitation wisdom. Who is a wise man? Am I a wise person? I think that's a question we need to ask. Am I wise? Are you wise? What does wisdom look like in my life? According to James, the one characteristic we want to see in our life is meekness, humility. Humility is a defining characteristic of what real wisdom is. Not just meekness of words, not just saying how humble we are, but truly showing it in how we live our life. But how do you get wisdom? Right? Remember when I said it's all connected. Go back to James chapter 1. How do I get wisdom? How do I become a wise person? James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you want wisdom, you ask of God. That's where James starts, right? Ask of God and he'll give it to you. How? Right? How does God give us wisdom? Well, if wisdom is doing things God's way is found in the Word of God, right? And we're going back to that. We're going to find it in the Word of God. Psalm 119, 98. Through thy commandments, thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Through thy commandments, says we have been made wise. Proverbs chapter 2, and I'm not going to have you turn there for the sake of time, but Proverbs chapter 2 talks about this idea of wisdom is finding the words of God, and those direct us into the way of God. That is what wisdom is. It's living according to the path that God has for us, that's shown to us by the word of God. But it all comes back to us and our relationship with the Word of God. And so if we're still in James chapter 1, look down to verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, doesn't that fit right in there with chapter 3? Swift to hear, swift to listen to the Word of God, slow to speak, slow to get angry. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with what? Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It all comes back to meekness. Us being humble enough to just listen to what God says, and then not just be hearers of the word, but also be doers of the word. Humility is us standing before God in meekness saying, Lord, I will accept your way. What you tell me to do, and I'll do that. Maybe I have my own ideas, and I have my own thoughts about how things should be done, but I'm going to live according to the Word of God. And the Bible says that humility, that meekness, that's wisdom. Where you say, I'm going to put aside everything I think, and even my goals and my desires, and I'm just going to listen to the Word of God and do it. That's what wisdom looks like, and it'll be seen. We'll show it out of a good conversation that we have the meekness of wisdom. So let's take ourselves and let's enter this contest. Say, all right, I'm going to put myself up there and say, for me to look at and for God to show me, do I really look like wisdom? Does my life show true wisdom? Almost a year ago in Los Angeles, there was a group of people that took part in a Shrek lookalike contest. I don't know if you know who Shrek is. If you don't, that's probably a good thing. It's probably better for you. Shrek was like, it's a kid's movie, and he's a big green ogre, right? So there are a bunch of people. I don't know how many. There was a group of people, probably more than is necessary. But a group of people, they got together, and they came to this look-alike contest, painted green, wearing like the kind of outfit he wore, and then like with the fake ears, right? All dressed up for this, trying to be the person who looked most like this big green ogre. The prize was a check for $200, right? Which is maybe a good check for a Saturday, and a bag of onions, because that's related to him somehow, right? So, like, all these people that decided they were going to look like this green ogre. But here's the thing. For all the green paint they put on, they weren't ogres, right? They may have looked like an ogre, but they weren't. When we talk about a lookalike contest and being like wisdom. We're not trying to just say, I want to make other people think I am wise. I'm not just going to do what is necessary or say the things that people are going to look at me and go, oh, that's a wise person. I don't want to just look like I'm wise. I want to be wise. I don't want to just have a facade of people think that I'm wise. I want God to know my heart and see wisdom in my heart and in my life. Who is a wise man? It's the person who's going to live according to the word of God. Do things God's way. And I think what it's going to come down to for us is, are we going to receive the word of God with meekness? Because that's what James says in chapter 1 and verse 21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. It's able to save your souls. Am I willing to do that? Am I going to start right there and receive with meekness the word of God? We don't receive the word of God just by being near it, just being in proximity to our Bible or having a Bible. It's when we read the word of God. And even more than that, I think it's our attitude when we read the word of God. And isn't that there in receive with meekness the engrafted word? That it's not just the act of putting our eyeballs on the words of Scripture, but it's coming to it with a heart of, Lord, teach me. And Lord, I want to know what your way is so that I can do your way. That is meekness. And the question for us is that me? Is that you? Is that our attitude toward the Word of God? Monday morning Christianity, right? Sunday is the day when we're here in church. We hear preaching. We hear teaching in Sunday school. We hear the Word of God. Monday morning rolls around. Can I tell you we need to hear it again? Right? We do. We need to get back in the Word of God. And get back in the Word of God and receive it with that attitude of humility and the attitude of saying, Lord, show me what your way is so that I can then do what you want me to do. That's wisdom. We don't just fake it. We're not hypocrites. We're not faking what is, or saying the right thing so that people think about us a certain way. We're not just trying to look like we're wise. We're trying to be wise. God says, if any man lack wisdom, ask. And he goes, I'll show you. But you got to receive it with meekness, and then you got to do it. That's what wisdom is. The question is, are we wise? Let's close with prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people that truly are wise according to the word of God. Lord, help us to do your will. Help us to do your work. Lord, may we receive with meekness the engrafted word. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.